Welcome, everybody, to the 15 Years Later podcast. My name is Tim Larson, and I'm here with Crash Tyson himself, Mike Wilden. How are you, Mike?
Well, I haven't been punched in the face lately, so I'm pretty good.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
This is welcome to podcast episode number 7. This is a follow-up to the blog episode 7, Crash Tyson, available on 15-years-later.com. This is just such a memorable conversation from 3 years ago. I remember hearing it, and I remember laughing pretty hard. My first question to you for today, do you remember telling this story in Buffalo Wild Wings that day when we were there?
Well, yeah, and I remember you enjoying it just as much then as you do now.
It's almost like you're mad at me for enjoying this story.
I'm not, but like... But I don't know how to finish that sentence.
You know, like, what? That's fair. Maybe we'll find it by the end of the podcast. That's fair.
I'm not mad, but I'm still a little off put by the fact that you get so much enjoyment out of me getting punched in the face. Some, sure. But no, it's fine.
I've been trying to hide it. Is it showing? Does it show? I've been trying to hide it.
You haven't been trying to hide it, and it is showing.
All right, that's fair. Hey, before we actually get into it, I do have a reflection from the last podcast, and we've been trying to do this. If there's something that we forgot that we should have brought up, I left out an absolute nugget about our friend Dentino. He teaches math with me, and he's just a great guy. You said that he had made a comment on email, or was it actually on the WordPress website?
It was on the WordPress site. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's been reading along and he's been listening to the podcast. So he's very aware of everything that's going on. And I have to tell you that in the last blog that I wrote, I said, I'm not a math teacher because I like to write the prime factorization of the mileage on my car. He does that. He does that regularly. He's been doing it for 20 years. He drives his car. He looks at the actual mileage, and he breaks it down as like 2 to the 5th power times 3 to the 7th power times 13 to the 2nd power. And so I'm kind of making fun of him when I write that. Well, he read the blog episode. He came into school the next day. He walked into my classroom and started giving me numbers. 13 to the 3rd power times 5 to the 2nd power times 2 to the 3rd power. I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he looked at me like, you should know what I'm doing, and left my classroom. So thanks, Dentino, for listening. Thanks for reading. And we're glad that you're here, and your ability to write the prime factorization of numbers is much higher than most people's. So Dentino's on board.
From what I remember of Mr. Dentino, that sounds very accurate, both in the nerdy math and the attitude.
Yeah, exactly. The attitude. That's what we need to address. The attitude. So we did start last time. We said some comments, and I just had some that I got that I thought that you would enjoy hearing, because we listened to some that you brought up last time. This one is just great. And I saw that on my Facebook post, this friend of mine, Jill, commented, and you actually liked the comment. She said simply, love reading these. But what you don't know is I don't think I've talked to Jill for 15 years. Her family was friends with my family, and we went and did, you know, like similar things, recreational activities and stuff. And knew her through high school. And as we all went to college, we kind of separated a little bit. One of my friends is probably still close to her, a little closer than I would be. But that was a little bit out of nowhere. And so I just think it's awesome that, you know, somebody I grew up with is reading these and enjoying them. And I thought that you would think that's cool too.
That is very cool. That is a similar thing to when Sarah commented.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. That was like, oh, you caught this too. That's pretty cool. Yeah, there have been several people that I haven't seen since high school that have, commented or sent me messages too. And it's been, yeah, it is very cool. I don't have any better word for you right now, but that's.
Right. I guess number three, if we include Dentino, which we should because that's a prime number. Last week we had a Friday and then it was going to be spring break. So a bunch of teachers went out to a bar and had a drink or two before going home and setting off on spring break. And as I was talking to one person, he said, "Yeah, I agree, Larson. That's, or should I call you Father Tim?" He just completely brought this up out of nowhere. So clearly he had read episode six. And then another friend I was sitting with said, "Yep, I'm current too." And so that was kind of fun for me that they were talking about the podcasting. You came up. We enjoy talking about, students and reconnecting with former students. And I was called Father Tim at the bar. So that's something. And I'd like to say that I hope this weekend, you're going somewhere. You have some plans. I don't remember where they are, but you have plans this weekend. I hope somebody calls you Crash Tyson this weekend, just like they called me Father Tim last weekend.
Well, that seems like it probably feels pretty good. Everybody that I've spoken to lately that's brought up the blog on their own has been like, "Hey, I haven't read any new blog entries lately." Like, oh, okay, cool, thanks.
Well,
It's fine. People
there's a
like
lot of them.
everybody,
There's a
yeah,
lot of
everybody
them.
has life. They got to get caught up. I don't hold it against them. It's just funny for me because it's the polar opposite of what you've been experiencing lately.
Well, this week anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that people are reading along and enjoying, we've discussed it before, but it's pretty cool that we have an audience of more than zero,
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you're gonna enjoy this one. I got a text the other day from my friend, former fellow teacher, your former teacher, Lynn, who you spent a little bit of time with, hanging out at the bar when my band was playing. Lynn loves the vocabulary, so it just enjoy this quote in the middle of the text. She said, "The easiness and conviviality of your podcast makes listeners want to join in." That's right. Conviviality. Do you know that word?
I do not.
No, me neither. I looked it up. It says the quality of being friendly and lively. So that's nice.
I feel like you could just say the quality of being friendly or lively at that
You
point,
could
really.
probably do that.
That's.
That's Lynn, though. That's Lynn. So anyway, she said it makes the listeners want to join in. And she said she actually had to stop herself from talking out loud while listening to us on our podcast. She started joining the conversation when she was listening to the podcast and she had to stop herself. Hey, I'll take that as a big win. So thank you, Lynn, for enjoying what we're doing and feeling like you're connected to it. I think that's pretty cool.
That is delightful.
Yeah, she's
That is
delightful. She
delightful.
really is. She really is. And then of course, my cousin Brian, who always chimes in with everything, usually with some disparaging sarcasm. As you recall, last Sunday we were on a Zoom meeting during our movie group thing, which I don't know how well we've described that. Maybe we should do a better job of describing it for everybody, but he talked to us about his experience with Aunt Kitty. As a result of me talking about Aunt Kitty, and would you agree that he confirmed pretty much what I said about Aunt Kitty as a just a really fun aunt to have in your life?
Yeah, I mean reconfirmed. I'd kind of when I talked to your nephew that one time through the same movie group, in fact,
Oh yeah,
it was a similar thing, but it was
Brandon.
very
Yeah, my nephew
cool.
Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool hearing Brian talk about his perspective and his affection for Aunt Kitty and just, yeah, just how it was different, and also how Aunt Kitty to him was very similar to the way you saw her. Just regardless of the very different situation he was in, she was the same to him because she treated everybody, you know, and saw the best in everybody. It was very, very cool. And that was a wonderful conversation. I really enjoyed. Yeah. I mean, I ended up going to bed way later than I intended because we stayed up pretty late talking about a lot of stuff, but that was a good portion of it. And I really enjoyed that a lot. So thank you, Brian, for sharing that.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, that like there's that phrase, everybody should have an Aunt Kitty in their lives. But really, just thinking about the fact that I wrote that and then we talked about it and some people are reacting to it, I would just say just for people listening, if you have somebody who's like an Aunt Kitty in your life, hey, do her a favor or him a favor and reach out and say, thank you for being you.
Yeah. Yeah. They would very much appreciate hearing that. They would love hearing that.
Yeah.
Very much.
All right. So here we go. I would say this entire project started out as us relating to each other by telling like different kinds of stories back and forth. And Aunt Kitty was an emotional favorite. Crash Tyson here that we're talking about is a comical favorite. What do you say we get into this blog and talk about it a little bit more?
All right, let's do it. Let's get it over with.
Yep, it's time. Let's talk about blog episode 7, Crash Tyson, written by you. I have some questions particular about this episode. Here's my first one. The crash part of Crash Tyson. Now, we definitely want to get into the Tyson part because this is a beautiful story for me. The crash part.
I like that you emphasize that it's for you. It's a beautiful story. Like
it is. It's a beautiful story for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully for many people listening.
There might be a couple, at least probably several, but yeah, this always makes you just giggle.
It does. It does. Maybe we'll check with some people and see how much they enjoy it. We'll keep it coming back around. But before we get to the punch in the face, as it were, you write in here that I have it written as a quote, the crash part of Crash Tyson, it comes from when I totaled my car later that year. So I didn't catch this before, but while reading it today, before we started talking about this, did this incident of the punch in the face predate you crashing your car?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
For a while, I was just Tyson, and then the car thing happened, and I survived. And my coworkers started calling me Crash, and then pretty quickly, somebody said Crash Tyson because they're like, "Oh, that sounds pretty cool," but also mocking me at the same time. So
it does sound cool. It does.
it does, but you know, but yeah. So that did happen later in the year.
So what, you know, we didn't talk much about the crash because the other part of the story is so entertaining. How'd you crash your car? What happened there?
I was driving along I want to say it was like a 3-lane highway. And I don't know if I hydroplaned or if it was ice or what, but something made me slip. I don't honestly remember exactly what the condition was. But I just completely lost control of my car, and it was kind of a smaller car. And I did like a full 360 while still moving in the same direction. So there was one point just briefly where I was staring at all of the oncoming traffic down the highway.
Yep.
And then I kind of was trying to, you know, basically fishtail out of it, which I don't think that was necessarily what I should have done. But, you know, you're like, try to survive.
Yeah.
So then at one point my car kind of like basically ended up when it finally kind of caught the pavement again, it kind of went like forward briefly. And then just because of how I remember exactly how it happened, but I basically ended up basically like reversing out of the lane.
Yeah.
And like out of everybody's way. And then just barely like slowed down enough that it didn't really hurt, but it was kind of one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'm about to hit the median. Here we go.
Yeah.
Boom. And then there it was, you know. And yeah, I was fine, thankfully. Like the actual crash itself was at, you know, I significantly lost speed before it actually happened. Before
oh, that's
the
good.
Impact.
And you said no, you didn't hit anybody else. Nobody else got hurt, right?
No. And that's, I mean,
that's amazing.
It's a miracle. I mean, I'm sure that the people that saw me start spinning out of control behind me
Yeah, they
probably were
adjusted.
like, all right.
We'll let
Yeah,
him do
we're
what
gonna
he's
just
doing.
back off. Yeah, let's let him just figure that out, and then we'll keep, you know. But you know how it is when you're, I mean, there are a lot of times you're on the road, especially, you know, certain places where people don't care. People are just gonna, I'm going where I want to go, and my thing is the most important, and I have to make it at least 14 seconds earlier than I was planning.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then everybody, you know, everybody can just kiss my ass. And so I was just lucky that everybody noticed that I was, you know, potentially about to die. And so as soon as my car had kind of gotten out of harm's way, it hit that median. I do remember it like hit the median, but I was also still kind of sliding. So it was like the little crunch, and then it just like kind of, it, you know, scraped along that median for a little bit. And I remember seeing that mark on my way back for a little while.
So was it a
guardrail?
Every
time I'd make that trip again.
Was it a guardrail kind of a median, or was it like a curb or a cement block, or?
Yeah, it was probably, I mean, it's like at least the height of my car. So there's a big, you know, big streak against it, where my bumper kind of just scraped against it. And then once I actually like scraped against it, that's what caused my car to kind of come back around and face the right way again.
Oh yeah.
And
Righted itself. Sure.
Yeah. And immediately I looked around and just, I felt my car die. I'm like, all right, let's just kind of make sure that we pull off the road here. And I was just praying, like, please make it all the way off the road. Please make it all the way off the road. And it just barely did. And then I had to sit there as traffic zoomed by me for the next, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours while I waited for a tow truck. That was kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And then the funniest thing for me was, as you would expect, a cop, you know, stopped by. And so this officer came by, checked on me and everything. And he was like, can you drive it? And I went, I'm not turning this thing on. Like, I felt this thing die. I'm not starting the car.
You could try it if you want,
and
officer.
So, yeah, I said like, hey, I don't know if it can drive, but I'm not gonna risk it. And he goes, oh, why don't you just start it? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. He gave me, I'm sure they have to do something, and maybe it's an insurance thing or something like that. But he gave me a ticket. And he wrote it off as a warning, but on the warning it said improper lane change. It's like, yeah, that's about as improper as you can get.
I was backwards.
Lane change. So that's probably justified.
Yeah.
Got the tow truck, and then of course it was totaled. And so that was when I got the car that I have now, which I've driven all over the country. So.
All right, so we enjoy doing this and freaking each other out. I have also done a 360 on an expressway in my car. I'm not making that up. I know that we've never talked about this before. This one was my plain stupidity. I was driving to hang out with, earlier in the show, we talked about my friend Jill and some friends that I grew up with. I was driving out to see them for New Year's Eve party. Not a bunch of us, just maybe there's like 6 to 12 people hanging out for New Year's, but I'm driving to see them from my hometown, and it's a good hour and a half, and you got to hit the expressway. So, you know, it's New Year's Eve, it's December out, and I hit black ice or a frosted pavement. I didn't know it. And at the time when I was, you know, 16, I did enjoy driving my car fast. And I got a couple of tickets in my day. And I remember mom and dad not being very happy with me about that. especially the miles per hour that were written on the ticket. But I went around, there was an S curve. Okay. And so the S started going to the right and then came back to the left immediately. So it was just a little tiny bit of a swerve. And as I was turning my car to the right for the first part of the S, I felt the back end sliding. And I'm not going slow. I was like, oh shit, here we go. And so then I'm sideways, then I'm backwards, then I'm sideways the other way. And by the time my car comes back around and I'm facing, you know, front forward, the other part of the S curve had started going to the left. So my car basically slid back into the lane, and then it slid off the side of the road onto the grass in between even the reflectors and came to a stop and stalled parallel to the expressway. Like didn't hit a thing, just did a complete 360 at 80 some miles an hour and just skidded to a stop there. And my hands were like, you know that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when they stop after the fire and he's got to unpluck his hands? My hands were like stuck to the steering wheel. And it had the car had stopped because it's a stick and it was still in fourth gear. And so I had stopped and it had just died. And I was like, why did my car stop? You know, I started freaking out. Like, did I just did I just total my car? And so I got out and I looked around. I'm thinking at least one of the tires had to be off. Like I had to screw up something with a suspension thing here or something. I get out and I'm looking at my car and I'm like, this is the luckiest damn thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And I had passed several people who then probably saw me do that. And then they just went right on past me. Nobody stopped to check on me. They were like, that's what you get, asshole.
Yeah.
which is true. And I drove the rest of the way to my friend Keith's house at about 48 miles per hour for the rest of the day. And his parents were there when I got there, and they were always really nice to me. They're like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, good, nothing happened driving up here. I don't want to talk about it. How's everybody
don't
doing?
Don't look outside at my car.
And then we went to my friend's house. Yeah. But yeah, I have also done a 360 on the expressway.
Yep. A lot of that seemed pretty familiar.
Doing my best to not do that again.
Yeah, that same.
Okay, so we got through the crash part of the story. Let's get on to the Tyson part of the story. I have to say, you know, you and I talked about this several times. This one goes back to that first day that we reconnected. We were having so much fun. When you told this story, I remember laughing a lot as you were telling this. Like, your delivery is really good here in this one live. And it's clear now that you've told this to quite a few people. It's a practiced story. And so you got the reaction you were looking for. Now, you were nervous about writing it because there are HIPAA laws that prevent you from saying things about patients. And in the first place, I wanted to give you some props. You did a nice job crafting this to avoid any connection to anybody. You know, you and I have never talked about what this person looked like or anything like that. And so I've got at least five different versions in my head of, you know, where you are and what the patient looks like and all that kind of stuff. And the beauty is it doesn't matter. That's not the important part of the
ultimately,
story.
Ultimately, you know everything you need to know. You know, yeah. The guy who's confused and punched me in the face. That's what happened. I thank you, but I mean, I hope you're right. Like, yes. I hope I did enough.
Yeah.
No, I was very caught. I mean, you know, I was hesitant to even publish this at all a lot of times.
Right.
But after discussing it with healthcare friends of mine, like, is this too much? And they're like, you're not saying anything about it. I'm like, okay, well, anyways, moving on.
Yeah. I mean, we even talked about, like, making up a destination and making up like an alternate persona to make the person look different than they really looked like. And we just didn't even need to do that. I think you handled that pretty
We don't
well.
need to say anything about what they look like. We don't need to
Yeah.
say how old they are or anything, anything that would identify them because it's the law. But also, you don't need to know it. And also, I law or not, I would want to protect this person's privacy. So,
Right. It's
it's
the right thing to do for sure. Yeah.
a story about a stranger who punched me in the face.
Yeah, so obviously, if anybody tuned into this to hear more about that, that's not going to happen. We're going to respect people's privacy and not give anything that away there.
And follow the law.
Yeah. Oh, and follow the law. So, getting back to some fun stuff in the story. There's a point in here where right away after you get punched in the face, somebody hands you a Sprite can to put on your face. And my guess is somebody found something cold and said, put this on Mike's face. Like that's what you do, right? You got punched in the face, put something cold on. I love that part of the story. And
I know you do.
I just want to point out that if you go to our webpage, and scroll down to the bottom, there's a bunch of scrolling pictures and we have a Sprite can that comes up. And this is why. I mean, we did this months ago, and we put that up, and we read through these episodes, and we found some visual images to put up there. And so, if you guys go back to our website and scroll through the pictures, some of them might make a little more sense now than they did the first time you saw them. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, that was the idea behind that little slideshow was, hey, let's leave little teasers and people
Yeah.
won't really know what they are, but then as they read, they might go, oh, if they're paying attention to that little slide, that little rolling pictures video that we have on there at 15-years-later.com.
Where is it at? Where can you find that?
15-years-later.com. That's a numerical 1 and 5 with hyphens, just in case you were wondering, Larson.
Extra bonus points if you see the Sprite can. Yeah, and in fact, we have some ideas for some other pictures we should be putting up there now that we're looking down the road a little bit. So if you guys keep your eye out, you'll see some new pictures show up there. Okay, so let's move on. Now we're inside the healthcare industry. And talking about some of your experiences in there, which is fun to, unearth some of the truths about that. I would like to do a callback to episode 3, which was On a Plane to Hawaii, which you wrote. Let's reiterate that that was a giant lie because you weren't on a plane to Hawaii. You were in a laundromat. And I love that part of the story also.
That's correct.
Well written, by the way.
But
Now, here's.
to be fair to myself, you were the one that said you should write something as you're on the plane to Hawaii
I
about
did.
like you thinking about Hawaii. And I really, really tried to, but all I could think of was where I just was. So I didn't actually start thinking about Hawaii until I was actually there. So I
I like that.
just
I
switched
like
it
that turn
around.
of play right there. Where I'm going with this, though, is in that particular blog episode, you mentioned your sister-in-law, and she comes across as almost a hero of the story, really, because she nudged you in the direction of what ended up being your career path here. And so now that we're into the healthcare industry, it's just a good time to reflect back on how you got there, and we've already kind of told this story. So now she was a pretty big influence. And I think there's another obvious big influence on how you got into the healthcare industry. So we just did an episode for me with Aunt Kitty and my mom. And so let's talk about a couple of your influences that got you into the healthcare industry.
Well, regarding my sister-in-law, she's been in healthcare for a long time. And not only did she nudge me in the direction of my career, she got me into the industry in the first place.
Yeah.
I was sitting there in the darkness of the light booth for the comedy club, and she texted me, "Hey, come be a transporter." And I was like, "What's a transporter?" "Okay, fine." And that gave me enough exposure to imaging that led me to Echo, and here we are. But then even then, we went over the story in episode 3, but shout out to my sister-in-law. I would not have the career or really the life that I have without her. She's an amazing woman. We're our family is very lucky to have her in it.
Yeah.
We're all very grateful that she's part of the family.
That's great.
And she was a travel nurse. That's the fun part is, even after getting through school and, doing the Echo thing just locally for a couple of years, as I was looking at travel, guess who was one person that gave me a lot of really good advice? It was my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And, she and I still chat about it. We were just a couple, just last week was Easter, and we were talking a little bit about it. And it's really cool to have that bond and basically have that hanging over my head, because I owe her everything. She's yeah, so thank you to my sister-in-law. And I kept telling her I was gonna take her to dinner sometime, but then she's got my three nephews. They're all in high school and all playing sports, so she's always busy.
Right.
So it's been difficult, but at some point I'm gonna make it happen.
That's great. That's great. Like I said in the last episode, I mentioned being very appreciative to people who push me in the right direction, and I think it's a good thing to do to reflect and go, hey, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for other people, and then maybe going forward, try and help some other people out, right? Pay it forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, the kind of a fun little connection there too. Not only is that relation there with that with the travel thing, but my sister-in-law met my brother because she was on a travel assignment.
Oh,
She's
really?
from North Carolina. Yeah.
Okay.
She's from North Carolina, and my brother was they met at like a bar in Wrigleyville.
Okay.
And they're, I think that where they were at a Cubs game, somewhere around the Cubs. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but, she was on a contract in Chicago, and that's how they met. And
That's
so here we
great.
are.
That's
So,
great.
it's a wonderful industry.
Indeed. Now, your mother spent her entire career in the industry too, and so I know that she had an effect on your thought process and probably still does as you're going through your journey through the industry. So, I've heard you talk about your mother in with a lot of reverence. So, as far as some connections to the industry, give me a couple of stories about your mother and the industry and what she means to you as kind of a mentor. And some fun conversations you guys have had about it.
Jeez, we could talk about this all night.
We could. Yes, we could.
A lot of times when I think of these, I kind of laugh, and I hope she knows that I'm not really laughing at her. It's my mom's personality, and nobody finds my mom's personality more entertaining than I do, because I know and love my mom.
Yeah.
So, like, when I tell you this story I'm about to tell you, I'm not trying to make fun of my mom. It's just a funny thing. Like, of course she
Yeah.
would say this. But when I was first kind of finalizing my plans to go back to school for Echo, there
Okay.
was a brief period of time where my mom would bring up once in a while, like, you sure you don't want to be a nurse? You'd be such a good nurse, because she was a nurse. It'd be fun to.
Yeah.
And I just was
Yeah.
like, nope, not at all. I do not have the patience for that whatsoever. I am with a patient for maybe an hour max, and then I get to leave. Nurses are with those patients for 12 hours, just all day, and maybe for multiple days.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of patients that I would just not put up with for longer than that hour. I get out of that room after I'm done scanning. I just like wipe my brow, like, whoo, glad I'm done with that. Can't do that as a nurse. I would not have the patience for that at all. The nurses are saints.
Yeah.
They're twisted, but they're saints. If,
You know,
again,
I just want to interrupt you for just a second. So keep your thought process. I was going to say earlier when you were discussing this, I was trying to find the right way to say it. It's almost like when you're in front of patients, you have to have one sort of persona. And then as soon as you walk out of the room and get into the hallway or start talking to other professionals about the healthcare, like you have to have another persona. So I don't want it to come across as if I'm saying that people in the healthcare industry are two-faced, but I do want to say you probably have to have two faces just to survive the environment. Does that sound right, or am I way off on that?
I don't know if it's necessarily that much. I think it's just like anything. There's professionalism and then there's just your personality. And if for a nurse, for example, and I mean for me too, if I'm interacting with a patient or I'm interacting with a doctor, either case, if this is another hospital professional or a patient, I have to show some restraint. You and I can talk in a way that I'm not going to just talk to a stranger. We all talk to people in different ways and kind of tweak our personalities a little bit here and there, depending on who we're around. I have a lot of respect for the people who are just the same person in front of everybody, but those people are actually very rare. Even if it seems like somebody is like that, they're still going to kind of tweak things here and there. But I mean, that's also, you kind of should, because that shows the social intelligence to realize, oh, I shouldn't, maybe turn this one down so that I don't offend or hurt this person or upset this person or start a fight with this person or, whatever.
That's a really good way to put it. Social intelligence, as opposed to saying that you have two faces. That's a really good way to put it. Probably because you're in the environment and I'm way over here.
Well, you put the most negative spin on that that you possibly could have. So thank
I was
you.
trying not to. I was really trying not to.
Well, you failed.
Fair enough. I'm sorry. You were talking about your mother and a nurse and nurses in general, and they're saints,
That's right.
and I cut you off. Sorry about that.
That's fine. My mom is the same too. She's, as a kid, it was just normal for me, but my mom would come home and, she'd talk about whatever was going on. So I heard all kinds of stuff. When you're a lot of people who have mothers that are nurses or fathers that are nurses, they know, like, it's just, you grow up in a healthcare family. It's a different thing. It's I have some close friends that that's the same situation. And it's kind of fun when people will ask, like, oh, how long have you been doing this? And I'm like, well, I've been doing this for 6 years. Then I was also a transporter for 5 years. And then I was also, like, I grew up with this. I've been around this my whole life. So I've been familiar with some aspect or another of it since I can remember. And there are just a lot of very, disturbing, crazy things that happen in the hospital that you just hear. You're just like, all right, well, I guess that's a thing that I know now. And as a kid, you don't think anything of it. It's like, okay, that's whatever. But it's kind of funny because my mom is a sweetheart. She's very kind. One of the kindest people I know. She's got a kind of a twisted sense of humor.
That's
Like, not
great.
always. She's got a clean sense of humor too at times, and she hates when I'm a smart ass. As I've gotten older and just, I mean, I feel like my relationship with her has just grown and gotten stronger over time anyway. And I guess that's kind of how it happens anyway when you get older. You appreciate your parents more. And I've told you a few stories about me learning things in hindsight about my parents.
We're going to come back to that throughout the season here. So let me get you to talk about this. You haven't written about this, but I know that we've talked about this. Please tell everyone, including me, it'll be my second time hearing it, because I think this story is completely adorable Tell me about you and your mother and the pandemic and talking out on the porch or the patio, however that works out.
Oh man. So that's, let me first say something. This is kind of an important thing to get out there. Speaking of healthcare workers, it was surreal during the lockdown era of that pandemic. Now, at first, I kind of laughed just at my own situation, not at the pandemic, but when they first said, everybody stay home, don't go into work unless you absolutely have to. And at the time, I was kind of just being lazy and staying home unless I was going to work. So I went, what's that? Stay home and only go to work unless you absolutely have to. So nothing has changed for me. Got it.
Where's my PS3?
But, right. But man, when you were actually there, it was weird. And I mean, it felt, I don't want to overuse the, I almost don't want to use this term, but it felt like a war zone because it was just every room, there were just pumps outside I can't even,
Isolation to
I
the
don't even want to get
extreme.
into it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And everybody's, we're all running out of supplies and there's it, but it was crazy. And so anybody that is a healthcare worker or was a healthcare worker that went through that, I mean, God bless you. It just was, yeah. As insane as that was, and there obviously were a lot of terrible things about the pandemic, I look back fondly at that time in some ways. There were a few silver linings that were very, very important to me. And so I tend to look back at that time fondly. Obviously not the terrible, the all the death and all the chaos. But what you were mentioning with my mom. So when I would go to visit my parents during that time, I would never go in the house. I would go around the back and I'd stand at the foot of the deck and let them know that I was there. And then my mom would come out, like if we had dinner together, my mom would come out with a tray, put the tray where I was going to sit over on the other side of the deck, and then she'd walk back over to her spot and I'd go over there. And like she had a whole system down,
Oh
credit to her.
yeah. Doing the diligence. I love this.
Right. But a few times, this was over the summer. And so there were a couple times where I'd go over there and my mom would put some music on her phone and on the speaker with her Bluetooth. It was Santana or Neil Young or maybe Jimi Hendrix or Zeppelin or something. And we just have that playing in the background. All the tiki torches would be lit to kind of try and keep the mosquitoes away. And we'd eat and then the three of us would just hang out. My mom, my dad, and I just hanging out as it got dark out there with just the firelight and just some classic rock playing, just talking life. And then my dad would go to bed, 10, 10:30 or so. And then my mom would just stay up and just talk about life until, 12 or 1 in the morning. And I mean the sky was clear, all the stars and everything. It was perfect nights when this would happen. That definitely helps. And one of those, I know we were like splitting a bottle of wine and we're, like reaching as far as we can to try and pour the wine
Because
and
you were
whatnot.
keeping your distance the whole time, right? I mean, you guys were.
Right. But yeah, we just this was one of those times. It was just really, really nice. We talk about healthcare, we talk about relationships, we just talked about, life, we talked about the past, we talked about just all sorts of things. One of those things, a friend of mine that's a nurse had he works at a hospital I worked at a long time ago, a very close friend of mine, but he was telling me just a great story from work. And I was trying to repeat it to my mom, but I was just butchering it. And I knew I was because it wasn't my experience. And I finally just told her, like, you're just gonna have to ask him. And my mom, out of nowhere, just said, you should have him and his wife over sometime to our house when we're able to do this, and we'll sit around the fire pit and share stories and see who has the best story, and then the loser will take shots. And I'm like, Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'm texting him this now. And she went, she kind of
Yeah.
laughed. She's like, no, don't text him. I went, no, I
Right.
already did. Like,
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. He already answered. He's on his way over.
I was texting him as you were saying this because this is
Yeah.
amazing. And so my friend's response was, that's amazing. We're absolutely doing that.
Yeah.
And I really like the attitude my friend had about it because we ended up doing that a year later. And it was a great night. It was so much fun. I think that was not too long after you and I had first started doing this whole thing.
Okay.
But I remember my friend like trying to think of some of his better stories and just thinking like, all right, like I know I'm gonna the way he said it was, I know I'm gonna lose, but I want to put up a fight. So he respected the fact that my mom had worked in healthcare
Yeah,
forever.
she's got the
He,
experience. She's been in the rooms.
yeah.
She knows everything. Yeah.
And he knew that and he respected that. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. I like, you know, that says something about him, I think. But yeah, it was just that was a lot of fun. That night was a lot of fun too.
That's
But
cool.
yeah, it's just you know, when you work in healthcare, you just have with somebody, or if you're, you know, if you're in a family with multiple people that work in healthcare, it's just you just kind of have that bond. Because there's always something new. You think you've heard it all, and then you haven't.
I love this story about you're really not supposed to be that close with each other. And so, given the constraints, an evening outside under the stars, catching up with loved ones in a different environment than you would normally catch up is really, really cool. I mean, making such a positive out of such a negative is really fun. And for me, it's kind of a joy watching you. Again, we do these over Zoom meetings for people who are just listening. And Mike's had a pretty big smile on his face when talking about his mother, and that's pretty cool. Good for you guys.
I want to point out to you too, one other thing. During one of those times, I think it was when my mom had Neil Young playing. My mom and dad got up and slow danced at one point, and it was
Oh,
just
no
kind of a
way.
little adorable. You know, my mom's kind of laughing and everything, and
That's crazy.
I hadn't seen that in a while, I guess. Not because they didn't, you know, like not because they weren't affectionate towards each other, but just I hadn't really paid attention.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of noticed. I'm like, oh,
That's just
this
great.
is pretty great. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So you're jogging a memory for me. And amazingly, it has to do with Aunt Kitty. Do you remember hearing about the big power outage years and years and years ago that took out like the Northeast and part of the Midwest? Does this ring a bell with you at all?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, there was just a massive power outage, and I had my niece in town with us for a weekend, and I had to drive her back to my brother's house. And as I was driving, and we were listening to probably something on an iPod or whatever music she wanted to listen to, we got well into Michigan from Illinois, and we weren't quite to the Detroit area, but I started hearing on the radio as I switched off about this power outage. It was a complete blackout. I mean, everything, gas stations, grocery stores, everything just completely wiped out. And so I'm glad that we had stopped listening to the iPod. So I stopped and filled up my car with a full tank of gas, drove into the blackout, dropped her off. And my brother at the time literally lived 3 blocks from Aunt Kitty's house. And that's why my brother got along with her so well. He went over to her house all the time and helped her out. So whenever I would go into that area, I would stop by and see Aunt Kitty. I mean, that's the rule. And then she would call me Father Tim and give me a hug, and we would laugh and blah, blah, blah. That day, I went over there, and Aunt Kitty and my cousin Beth, her daughter, were just sitting out on the front porch and just talking to neighbors as they were out wandering around the streets because there was nothing to do in the house. TVs didn't work, you know, nothing worked. And so what happened was the neighborhood slowly crept out onto front porches and into the streets, and neighbors were talking to each other who don't normally talk to each other in the evening. This is a beautiful thing. And so I just happened to go by and say hi to my Aunt Kitty, and I witnessed this just beautiful neighborhood togetherness feel, you know? And as you're talking about your parents acting like that, I think you just get in a weird environment where the normal niceties of life just disappear, and what you're left with is just enjoying being around each other. And it was kind of a neat experience. And I hung around with them for a while, and then I drove to my parents' house where I slept before driving home, and their power was out too. And my grandmother happened to be over. And so my mom and my grandmother and I and my dad stayed up and talked in the dark around the candles for quite a bit. And I don't know, you're just reminding me of a really good time I had with my family in a similar circumstance where things weren't necessarily going well society wise, but you get rid of that and humanity takes over a little bit. And that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. Well, I remember for a few weeks during the pandemic, there was just that, you know, the whole world was shut down. Everybody in the world was locked
at
down.
Home. Stay at home. Don't leave home. Yeah.
And that was very surreal to think about that fact. Like, everyone is doing this. This isn't you go somewhere other, you know, somewhere else, and this isn't happening. This is happening everywhere. And in that way, it kind of had that feel of we're all in this together, the entire world. So just for a brief, you know, and then of course it just started becoming what it was. And but for a couple weeks there, it was, you know, despite the horror of it all, on the, again, another silver lining, there was just that togetherness, just that, again, you know, humanity, just banding together. And man, that was quite a feeling. That was quite a thing to just think about, you know?
It's very unusual for all of the coming and going to pause. And for nature to take over at night in particular. It's very, it's Wordsworthian, if you don't mind me saying that. That's a,
I don't mind you saying that.
Yeah. All right. So, man, that's just I've heard you talk about that once or twice. And I'm glad that we have that on the record, because what a cool scene. Just thinking about that back deck and music and stars and family enjoying a moment. So, talking about setting and scenery, I'm gonna go back to your blog episode here, Crash Tyson. We've gotten away from that for a little bit, but you give me credit from time to time about setting that I'm really good at setting a scene in my writing. But I gotta say, there's a couple of moments in here where you really write something that I can see. For example, I'm going to tell you what I see when I go into this scene, where there's a great quote that you write in here. Give me a moment. I'm going to find it. You say, the guy looked at the two of them. Now, this is after you've been punched in the face, and the tiny sweetheart of a nurse has come in to intervene. The guy looked at the two of them, then between them at me sitting across the room, and yelled, fuck you. I just love that line right there. But here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a square examination room. In the middle of it is one of those examination bed thingies, probably. That's the best thing I can come up with. And then I've got you close to the door in between that patient and that bed thingy and the door. And I've got the tiny sweetheart of a nurse in between you and the patient. With probably the chaperone type person very close to the patient. Am I right in my feeling about that setting?
I'm not going to tell you.
Damn it. Well, I'll tell you what. Just take that as a compliment then, because I'm seeing a lot of little details in a room that you didn't even supply. And I just want to say that.
Well, I mean, so I also, like, I did not clarify, you know, whether or not, like, this person was like an outpatient or an inpatient or anything like that.
True.
Because this, could have been an exam room. This could have been in a hospital room,
Okay.
you know, with the, like, in the patient's bed or where, like,
Yeah.
it's, you know, again, just to
Oh,
protect
sure.
their identity, I'm not going to say what their status
Yeah, I
was.
mean, I don't even get the difference between those two things, so that's how ignorant I am about them. Yeah.
I like somebody that comes in for an appointment and then would like go home versus somebody that's actually a patient in the hospital and has a bed.
Okay, I see.
And so, like,
I
you know,
see.
because you can go portable too. So you can like take the echo machine up to their room,
Yeah.
or you can bring them down. Or, I mean, even if they are an inpatient, so even if they are a patient in the hospital, you can call somebody to bring the patient down to you. So,
Okay.
yeah,
There's a lot of
it's, I
variables
just
involved.
want to,
I'm just telling you,
right.
when I read this thing, I see it. And I think that's an important thing about some of the stuff that we write is setting a stage so people could feel like they're in the room seeing it. And in that particular scene, as much as I like to give you shit about getting punched in the face, I think the way that you tell this is really good at setting a stage so people can feel like they're in the room watching it happen. And so good on you for that. I mean, you like to give me credit for that, but I think you're better at this than you think you are.
Thank you. I will say, I guess I kind of have, because I did tell the story that this happened in the department. So, I mean, this did happen in an exam room, but I won't say whether, you know, I guess what their status was, of course. But
Sure.
yeah, we're in the exam room, and that was a similar way to how that happened.
Yeah.
Because the way I wrote it is exactly how it happened. He looked in between them and looked at me and just went, "Fuck you." And I went, "All right, I think it's time for me to
Yeah,
go
okay,
now."
I got it. I got it. I think I understand our relationship now. Fuck me, I'm
Yeah.
gonna leave.
That's
Okay.
exactly.
So let me ask you this then. Just there's the setting and the scenery, but you got some characters in here also. And I love these characters I'm reading about. So there's a tiny sweetheart, and there's a nurse that you say that you got along with pretty well. And then there is I think a manager, a unit manager or something like that. Sorry if I don't get that phrase right.
Yeah, that's good.
Tell us a little bit about working with other people in the healthcare industry. What are some of the either funny, quirky things that you have come across personality-wise, or I don't know, some funny things that you like to avoid, or some camaraderie things. Give us a little insight to working in the health industry. What's it like being in there day to day? Make it feel like a sitcom for us for a minute.
Ooh, that's a challenge. That's a tough one, but I'll try and answer this. So you have to have a special personality to work in healthcare. You just,
I would agree with
yeah,
that.
my mom and I, yes, and my mom and I have had this conversation, I don't know how many times, but when you work in healthcare, you don't understand it unless you're in it, you know?
Sure.
And you know, like there was a time I was working with somebody, and we like helped a patient stand up, and when that patient stood up, a terrible smell just filled the air,
Okay.
and there were no expressions, there were no sounds or anything. We briefly straight faced looked at each other for just 1 second, and that was all we needed to do for that.
Yeah.
Communicated an entire conversation worth of thought. And nowhere else that I know of, nowhere else in my life have I been able to ever just look at somebody without any kind of expression for just a moment. And we both know exactly what the other person is thinking, like to the T.
Right. And how to deal with
And
it,
I know
right?
because,
Like, hey,
yeah,
we gotta do what we gotta do.
like, here we go. This is what
Yeah.
this is. A lot of people have worked in. I think most people probably worked in some type of public, so where you're working with the public, you know, whether it's customer service or public service or something like that. And when you work a job like that, you know that there are just a lot of people that are just nuts. People are just weird. I mean, when you just are around all kinds of new people every day, you think you've seen it all and you just haven't, you know?
Right.
You just have, it doesn't matter how much you've seen. Even my mother, when I was early on in my career in healthcare, like when I was a transporter, I'd come home and tell her a story, and she would be able to finish my story for me halfway through. I'd be like, oh man, I thought,
That's the coolest, most unique thing I've ever come up with. You just hit my punchline for me. Okay.
But there's still a couple that I've told her that she it would make her laugh, and she go, all right, that's a new one.
Well, there you
Never heard
go.
that one
Yeah.
before.
Yeah.
And so it's the no matter what, there's always something you haven't seen because people are just weird. People are weird.
We're weird. Yeah.
And
The,
yeah, we're
you and
people
I
too, and we're
included.
weird.
Yeah.
But just we as humanity are just so weird. So there is no place where that is truer than in a hospital. So as far as personalities go, a lot of people, I won't say everybody, but I'd say most people in healthcare have at least a little bit of a twisted sense of humor.
Okay, totally get that.
It takes a special person to work, especially nurses, and nurses are saints. And my mom,
Yeah.
wanted me to be that nurse and everything for a while. And I could never handle it, but it takes a really special person to be an effective nurse and just in any healthcare position, I think. But
Hey, you know what's kind of cool is we have in our school, we have a lot of kids that go through this program where they get to do some, they get to experience some nursing type things. So they get to go do some internships and work with some actual patients. And I think I totally get what you're saying because they come back and these are high school kids just being high school kids and they have kind of an early maturity about dealing with the job, which is impressive for a 17-year-old kid. And also, it's like their reaction to things that they've come across that you're talking about, that you're describing, is, I gotta say, it's almost fun to watch because it's so new for them. They're like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't think this was gonna happen. And usually when I hear any of them talking about that, they're talking to another nursing student, another person who does it that can relate to what they saw because the other kids can't. And they inevitably, and I think I like this about them, they're all kind of looking at each other like nodding and like, yep, that's the job. I mean, that's, yep, that's, I agree with you. That is weird. And also that's the job. So I don't know. Like, it's funny. You talk about like your mother who has so many years of experience with this and has, like you said, seen just about everything. And then I'm looking at these kids who have get, they're just getting their first glimpse at it. And good for them being high school students getting a glimpse at it, by the way.
Real.
And I don't think I see many of them turned away from the industry because of it. So I don't know exactly who's teaching that, but good on them for directing these kids in that direction. 'Cause I mean, that's a lot of emotion for a 17-year-old kid to deal with.
Real. Yeah, good for them. I think it also takes a special person to be able to be a good healthcare instructor.
Oh man, for sure.
I it just but you have to have that experience, and you because I've seen I will say I've seen healthcare instructors that aren't maybe as great at it as you'd like them to be.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of really good ones too, and you just man. I just in my own career, just the people I've come along, I've met along the way, some instructors, some tutors, and then just some mentors. It's like, man, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Sometimes you have a great day, and sometimes you get punched in the face, right?
Right. Well,
Hey.
you know what? It's kind of fun when I would tutor the the Echo students once in a while, but like somebody said, like, what's the craziest thing that ever happened to you? And it was kind of fun to one day I went, well, I got punched in the face, and they all went, like, don't worry. That doesn't, you know,
it's not every day.
I mean, there is an issue with violence against nurses, especially, but you know, healthcare workers, and it just doesn't get reported as much, or it's just, that leads into a much darker side of things.
Sure.
But in this situation, I walked away from it just fine. And so it, for me, with my personal experience, it's a funny story. So I'm,
I mean,
able
we're
to be
having,
like, hey,
we're having a lot of fun
place.
With this story, right? That could have been
right.
So much worse. Like, you write in and we're having fun with it. Yes.
Yeah.
I've got some favorite quotes, and I'm just going to, I'm going to read them out and get a reaction from you. The first one is, and you can react any way you want to. So, here's my first favorite quote from you. I heard him say something about an asshole. Now, I haven't had a whole lot of experiences in my life where I just kind of heard somebody talking about me off in the distance where they just directly called me an asshole. But I, you know, I've heard some things. Just run me through your thought process about that. Yep, he definitely called me an asshole. That's,
yeah. Well, with, I write this pretty much the way I experienced it. You know, that's kind of the story. Like you were describing earlier with the setting, looked between the two and looked at me, and you picture that whole thing because that's how it happened.
Yep.
You know, I didn't actually hear what he said. All I heard was they were kind of, they asked him what happened, and I heard him say something. And the only word I actually got clearly was asshole. I'm like, well, that's me.
Yeah, okay,
clearly.
That makes sense. All right.
So I heard him say something about an asshole. So
that's great. my next quote. So I walked her to the ER. What was that walk like? She's new in the area, right? You're telling me, my understanding is she's sort of new in the area. She doesn't really know where everything is. And there's a big to-do. You have to go down to the ER. And so
she was
trying to
that,
take charge, but you had to help her out, right? Liz, what was that walk like?
She was fairly new to the department. I don't remember exactly what point in her tenure that was.
Okay.
But she, she was... it's my initial answer is annoying, just because I was... You know, when somebody said, hey, you need to go to the ER, I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and went, all right. So I started walking towards the ER.
Yeah.
And then she stopped me and said, no, wait, I need to take you to the ER. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's where I'm going. It's fine. And she went, no, I have to take you there. I went, no, you don't. I'm fine. Let me go to the, if I have to go, let me go. And then, you know, that's when she started. And she, you know, to be fair to her, she was nervous and just an unfamiliar territory. And kept asking people, where's the ER? And I finally said, I know where it is.
Hey,
like,
I know
let's
where it
go
is.
Together.
I was going there anyway.
Let's, if you need to go to the ER, I can take you there. So it just, and she's a sweetheart. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay, like I'm not trying
right.
to smack about her. I just, it was in the situation, she got very flustered. And it was holding me back from doing the thing I needed to do next.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, after you get punched in the face and you kind of just process it for a little bit, then it's like, all right, well, okay, what's next? What do we need to do to just move on from the situation?
Sure.
And so when they said, well, you have to go to the ER, I went, yeah, all right.
Yeah, let me go.
And So I was annoyed at being held back, but then when we walked there, it was fine. I mean, she was very concerned about my well-being. You know, I think she was afraid that maybe, I don't know if I'd faint or pass out or whatever.
Okay.
But I was, you know, I experienced pain for about 2 seconds, and then it was like, it was more so just, whoa, okay, I just got hit in the face. And you know, so when they handed me the Sprite can, I almost rolled my eyes at it. I'm like, I don't need the, you know,
I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but
And no,
it's
you're
really,
not
really good.
sorry that you're laughing. You
I'm
laugh at
not
this
sorry
all
at
the
all.
time. No,
Yeah,
you're not.
no.
And that's fine. It's, I wouldn't tell this story if it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
That's the truth about it. You
All right, next.
know that I'm happy to be laughed at about a lot of things, and this is a good, it's a good one.
Yep, way to take the fun out of it for me. Next quote, and this one's just great. Speaking of making fun of and being good with it, photo or it didn't happen.
Oh, Murph.
By the way, we tried so hard to get him to be here for this for recording this podcast today, but his schedule didn't work out. But he's going to show up for another one later. But let's talk about photo or it didn't happen, and let's talk about your buddy Murphy, who is another former student of mine.
Yes. I hope we can get him as a guest eventually. 'Cause I think if there's anybody that would get more enjoyment out of a story of me getting punched in the face than you, it would be him.
Right.
He's been one of my best friends since high school. And he and I just, his and my relationship is just very, like, we just, I used the term a few episodes ago, needling.
Yeah.
We just really enjoy needling each other. And I think there are times where I'm kind of just, I kind of just like a little over it. And so I'll just genuinely give him a compliment. And then he just says something like, he's just kind of a jerk to me back. I'm like, man, come on. Like, it's, but we're just, that's how we became friends is, it's, you would think, I imagine some people would think like, man, these two dudes are being really mean to each other. They must not like each other at all. Yeah, no, we're like best friends. It's just,
That's funny.
he would have been good to have here because you two would have laughed together at me a lot about this.
Oh, I think so for sure. Let me tell you something. I had him in class also, and I didn't know that you guys were friends. I didn't know that you guys like even knew each other. But I will tell you this, and if he was here, I would say this as well. He seemed to enjoy the environment of my classroom just as much as you did. He
Oh,
seemed to
yeah,
feel
I'm
like,
sure.
oh, I get what's going on here. This is a place where I can be myself and sarcasm's allowed. And I will be made fun of, but I could also make fun of the teacher, and that makes it a fair game. Like he enjoyed the environment as well. And it's really interesting to find out all these years later that you guys were friends at the time, because it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense that he would enjoy your class too. I'm not surprised to hear that at all. Yeah, I mean, and I, as much as I'm, calling him a dick and everything, and sometimes he is,
There you go.
but as much as I'm setting up here how much he would laugh at me for getting punched in the face, he also has been one of the most supportive friends that I've had throughout the years. So, when you really get down to business, he's always had my back. So,
There you
he
go.
might laugh at me along the way when I, stumble and fall on my face because it's funny, but then he'll help me get back up and like, hey, seriously though, are you okay? And that was kind of the spirit of that text message because it was all pretty much one sentence. It's like, oh my God, are you okay, photo, or it didn't happen? Because it was just like he was just fighting between these two thoughts. Like, I gotta make
Right.
fun of him and
Right.
I gotta see if he's
Right.
okay. I'm just gonna put them together.
Yeah.
Cause that was one message. It was like just these two thoughts clashing against each other. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that like a good friendship thing? Isn't that the bottom line? As long as you're there for your boy when he's having a bad day, then everything else is forgivable, right? Okay, so I've got one more
He's a
quote
good
for you.
dude,
No,
though.
it sounds like it. And I remember liking him, so I'll look forward to being able to talk to Murphy together in a Zoom meeting, which would be very strange because I haven't talked to him in a long, long time. I got two more quotes. One of your last blog episodes, It was Home Run Part One. I gave you some credit for one of my favorite lines, and it comes back here in a different, it's a different line, but it's got a same tone. And this is a Mike Wilden tone, if ever there was one. The line in Home Run Part One went like this. I had average child athleticism, little coordination, and no ability to make decisions on the fly. You know, like you'd need to do while playing a game where you constantly have to make instant decisions. There's your sarcastic look at life and what I feel like you would deliver in a stand-up comedy routine is right there on that page. And you did it again in this one, and I love it. And it is, I must have said ow or something along those lines when I, you know, got punched in the face. I can hear it when I read it. And I hope people that don't know you also hear it when they read it, because this is quintessential Mike Wilden sarcasm when you're writing that line. I love that line. I love that sarcasm, and please don't stop doing it. You don't even have to make a comment. I'm just saying I like that.
Thank you. I can't and then my stop. Last... It's just me.
It's just, hey, just... this is me, guys.
I don't know how to turn it off, so.
My last quote is the last one of the last lines. I tried going vegan and I got punched in the face. Just thank you for writing that. You know, we're in this together and we're trying to write stuff that's entertaining. And for you to put that at the end of that line is it's just a strong line. And thank you for summing up this entire thing succinctly. I tried going vegan. I got punched in the face.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of that one. I didn't actually make that connection. I told the story a few times. I actually didn't make that connection until, you know, months or years later or whatever it was, when I thought, oh yeah, that was the same day that I like was trying the whole diet thing. And, you know, for the record, I wasn't permanently going vegan. I wasn't trying to go, but it was a temporary thing.
For those listening, Mike's not trying to offend any vegan people out there. He's just saying.
Well, I'm also trying to make sure people understand that I didn't actually want to be a permanent vegan. So again, I put this in the blog entry, but I feel like it's important to repeat. Just a quick disclaimer. My idea was Monday through Friday, I'm going to eat a vegan diet. And then after that, I'm steadily going to add things back into my diet. It was going to be like a cleanse, and then also kind of like a reset, because I was just eating so much garbage, and I was going to try and jump myself into eating healthier. And so I would go really, just really hard at this diet for 5 days and then let other stuff back in. And my hope was that I would just force myself into a good habit and then be, you know, basically reverse. Like I was going to trick my own brain into this whole thing.
Seems reasonable, disclaimer, honestly.
Well, I did not read about this or hear about this from anybody that actually knows what they're talking about.
Based in any actual fact.
Exactly. This was just an idea that my stupid brain came up with to trick its stupid self.
Okay.
And it, of course, didn't work, but it just happens to coincide with when I got punched in the face, so it was just funny to relate those two things.
Yeah, that's just such a great way to end
to be
this.
Honest with you, I was kind of just done with it anyway. I was probably, I don't know if I would have made it the last day or not.
Whether you got punched in the face, you were having Arby's on the way home, or A&W or whatever it was on the way home.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, because... Thursday, I felt pretty good. I had my salad and everything in the fridge, but I never got to eat it because all that happened.
Yep.
And so I missed lunch for that. And so I was just very hungry and didn't want to eat my, I mean, I think I probably forgot my salad. I don't know what happened to the salad, but I do remember that on the way home, I didn't want to eat, you know, after all of that.
No, I got it. I got it.
When you're working and you have a late lunch and you're really hungry and you look at a salad, you're just like, oh man,
give me a cheeseburger.
You know, and anybody that gets excited about a salad, good for you. I'm jealous of you. Because
Right.
the way I look at it is detrimental to my health. But anyway, it was a stupid idea I had that got punched out of me.
All right, guys. I think that's Mike, unless you got anything else to add to this beautiful story about being punched in the face. I think that's going to do it for us for today. You got anything else for everybody?
No, I just you really, really like this story.
I'm
Like
sorry.
a lot.
I just laughed so hard my earphones fell off of my head.
Yeah,
Yes, I
they
do.
Did. I can confirm that.
I pushed really hard for you to write this one. You didn't lie about that in the first sentence, and because I think it's endearing. And you got punched in the face. Let's move on to the next segment, shall we?
All right.
You guys, it's been really fun talking about Crash Tyson. I know it's one of Mike's favorite things to talk about. I'll let you know we have some Larson stories coming up too. We mentioned those earlier in the show, and some of these episodes we get away from the seriousness and do some funny stuff just to kind of keep you guys on your toes. So, hey, the next episode is mine, and it will be episode 8. We're already to episode 8. And it will be called
Why Am I Doing This? Part 2.
Yeah, we're going back to it. So give us a heads up on what people can expect in the next episode.
Well, you know, you did a good job of not actually getting to the point last time.
Thank you. Thank you. That happens.
No, it's between the two of them. I really do enjoy both of those articles, but I got to tell you, this next entry is one of my favorite things that you've written.
Thanks.
So part two of this, Tim actually gets into what inspired him to become a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, he, rather than getting sidetracked like last time, which again was still very good, we go into two main things, I think, that really directed you to it. But there's also a lot of great scenery that brought you into the situation that you were in, that brought you to the place, which is college. So there's a lot of great college scenery.
Yeah, I'm pretty honest on this one. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't a straight shot for me. I do some honesty here, but yeah, we're gonna hear the story, that's for sure.
And it's great. You guys really do not miss this. It's probably, I'm gonna say that of the 8 that we've written so far, it's maybe the best one.
Ooh, those are big expectations right there.
It's one of my favorite. It really is. It's fantastic. So yeah, that'll be next time. But don't forget to check out don't forget to catch up and check out these the recent ones, episodes 1 through 7.
You can find them at www.15-years-later.com. You can scroll down and listen to the podcast. You can also catch the blogs there. You could email us at 15yearslaterblog@gmail.com. And Mike, where can people reach out to us on social media?
On Instagram and Threads, we are at 15yearslaterofficial.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for all of these, that's a numerical 1 and 5.
Yep.
And on Twitter, we're at 15 years later TM.
Yeah. Reach out to us on Twitter, or as we like to call it nowadays, X, at 15 years later TM. We'll see you there, people. I've had a lot of fun with this one, and Mike seems grumpy about it, but he's had fun talking about it too. He loves this story.
Yeah,
so don't let him fool you. Don't let him fool you. He wouldn't tell you if he didn't want you to hear it. So Hey, everybody, have a great day. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you so much.